Fuse Box. This is Fuse Box number 250. Sham casting. And you have clearly pulled the wool over your own eyes.
A lead person from the DOJ is running the trial. So Biden's office is running this trial. This trial is a scam, and it's a sham, and it shouldn't happen.
You know, I'm not at all sure what reality you're living in, buddy, but in this one, this scam ends up with you checking into the Gray Bar Hotel. Hello, friends, and welcome in to this, the 250th edition of Fusebox, suspiciously entitled Sham Casting, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. I'm your wooden pillar of morality with just a bit of dry rot. Host, Mark Rose, and over there, the shadowy figure from a shadowy planet, the Archbishop of Amplitude, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Well, thank you kindly. You know, I thought we were going to avoid the big orange guy for now, but...
Well, yeah, we were. And you know what? Frankly, we still are. But he figures into this program a little bit today from the standpoint of sham shenanigans.
Sham shenanigans? Didn't he play bass in that 60s band?
I think you mean Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Bully bully.
Precisely. Friends, I don't need to remind you, but we've got a lot of crazy stuff going on in this world of late. Well, we've got election deniers.
Climate change deniers.
Justice system deniers.
And a big orange jackass playing a shell game with his corporate finances.
Who is twice impeached, criminally charged, and formally indicted on 34 counts.
Totally normal, totally natural.
And a total fraud. You know, the one thing you can count on when that orange guy says virtually, well, I don't know, anything about anybody, is that he actually did whatever he's accusing the other person of doing and is probably doing it right now.
Yeah, don't they call that projection or something like that?
Yes. Yes, they do, Mr. Keynes. Deny everything and point fingers at everybody else, and then a little whining on the side to try to bilk financial aid from your feeble-minded supporters.
Well, I'm not sure what scares me more, him or the fact that there are these people out there that think this asshat wannabe dictator is a good idea.
Yes, it does give us pause. Yeah. So, on this edition of the show, we're going to be looking at a few examples of shamtastic behavior. Because, I'll tell you, the thing that got me thinking about this in the first place was a report I happened to notice on MSNBC concerning the election interference trial going on currently in New York. And let's not confuse this, friends. It's not a hush money trial, as it's referred to frequently out there. This is a case based on trying to deceive the American people during the 2016 election by concealing evidence and manipulating financial records. Yes, we have a payoff to a porn star in there, which in itself is a wee suspect on a whole other level.
Yeah, like, aren't you married? Didn't she just have a kid, too?
Yeah, to say the least. But it's okay, evidently. They don't sleep in the same room, or so he says. So there was this report on MSNBC that just gave me pause, and we'll get into that shortly. Oh, and not to worry. We have a great big example or two of sheer sunshine hate idiocracy, if not right out shamage, from that area, down there, in that area, where the march backwards through time rages on.
You know, it's just got to fill them with horror every time they're forced to set the clocks ahead an hour.
traumatizing, I would presume, Mr. Keynes. So please, stick around and take the ride with us.
Well, even though this car has triangular wheels.
Cheer up, it's not going to be that bad. At least we'll have a good dinner.
You like that one, guys?
Zombies! Yay!
Oh, that's a classic. Zombie Holocaust. Or retitled as Dr. Butcher, M.D., Medical Deviant. Oh, how did I learn about all this? Well, you know, back in the day, through magazines. Famous Monsters, Castle of Frankenstein, things like that. Yeah, like the ones I have upstairs. But you know what? There's a new place to go for info about stuff like this and everything else in the Grindhouse world. Yes, there is, Milo. It's called Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine. And it's jam-packed with articles about these films. You know, the folks who write for GRM, they lived it. And there's a piece in the premiere issue all about early zombie movies without a bite. You should check it out. There's a link in the show description to get your paws on a copy.
Grindhouse Resurrection! Yay!
Oops.
Leaked from a lab in Wuhan. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Where to begin, friends, as we have so much.
Well, I vote for at the beginning.
Good a place as anywhere. Okay. So, as I was saying, I was watching a report on the day's trial in New York City on the election interference scandal, and this chap named Ari Melber, a legal commentator for MSNBC, made a remark about the cross-examination of Michael Cohen at one point, that it was becoming, quote, a bloodbath in cross-examination proceedings. Now, that would lead one to believe that there was some huge Perry Mason moment where the whole proceedings just turned completely around and Trump is a free guy and as a result he's... Well, no. Not quite, no. There was an interchange about a phone call that Michael Cohen couldn't recall perfectly because it was, after all, 8 years ago. And the now shrill-voiced defense lawyer, one might even say petulant.
No, that's not true. You know it's a lie, and I'm going to prove it. I don't know with what, because I'm pulling all of this stuff straight out of my ass. But it's all a lie. You're a lie. The case is a lie. You're all lying. Everybody's lying.
Well, he was screaming that Cohen was a liar and so forth and so on. But a reading of the actual court transcript does not indicate any aha moments at all. I suppose you could say it was a slight score for the defense, but with the mountain of evidence to support the prosecution here, well, it just renders this a complete non-event. But it's made out to be this sort of crushing moment in the testimony. Now, this is the kind of slant we're seeing a lot lately from all sorts of news organizations. Even well-regarded ones, and you come to find out, as well, and this is usually the reason for everything, that there's a little friction between Mr. Cohen and Mr. Melber, and not sure what from, but not exactly fully objective reporting. More like creating a news tornado from somebody's sneeze kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, and adding to your list there of shamcasting, how about Trump media's little game of footsie with their Trump media stock value? I mean, we all know it ain't worth shit. It's all being bolstered by these MAGAnoids in an attempt to get the orange guy some more cash.
Yeah, another grift and grab tactic.
Well, the whole damn company was on the brink of bankruptcy before that bank in Dominica stepped up. Not licensed to do business in the U.S., of course. And the former Trump media auditors, they all resign. Well, they could smell an orange rat. And then the company hires this B.F. Bolger's group to handle the audit, meaning creating a blind so that all the public filing info goes through without having to do any of the paperwork the SEC requires.
Oh, and by the way,
yeah,
busted.
Huh.
Yeah, because the SEC got word of that attempt to once again defraud and find B.F. Bulgers and charge them with being an audit mill. Now, an audit mill, if you don't know, by the way, is a shamtastic term for a company that will launder your paperwork. So you don't have to go through the lengthy process of actually filling out certain forms and providing what's akin to forensic detail on your accounting. They just, quote, take care of that for you. They eventually did file the forms, indicating some $770,000 in revenue and nearly $400 million in losses.
Sure. 3 + 3 equals penguin.
And speaking of liars, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, this holier-than-thou bootlicker du jour, who states that if you want to know where he stands on all the critical issues, well, sport, you only need to go as far as your Bible to get those answers. Yes, sir. All the answers to all the questions are right there in that book. Except these questions. Why would a religiously motivated guy like this show up at a trial for an adjudicated rapist, an adjudicated fraudster, and a guy facing 34 indictments related to election interference in 2016, not to mention the cheerleader for the January 6th riot?
Oh, that's simple, bro.
Oh, well then, enlighten me, O seer of the truth.
None of it happened.
Excellent.
What about that pinwheel-eyed governor of South Dakota and her new book where she relates the heartwarming story of how she shot her puppy.
And a goat.
And met Kim Jong-un.
Which she didn't.
So look. I only have one question for her. Now, I know things can get screwed up sometimes in the editorial process there. You know, things can get left out that should have been left in. Things that should be left out are in.
Like her whole book.
Yeah. Well, just riddle me this. This gal read her own audiobook. Why in dog's name didn't she flag that crap when she was reading it?
Very simple answer, Mr. Keynes.
Yeah?
Never happened. We're all just experiencing a mass hallucination caused by the firing of Jewish space lasers located somewhere in East Bayonne, New Jersey. Or maybe Mars. Manned by the evil genius and long dead Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, who now consults part-time for Dominion Voting System. Well, I'll tell you this. She was asked that very question, Mr. Keynes, by Elizabeth Vargas. And here's how that went.
You recorded the whole book, the audiobook. Mm-hmm. You read this whole passage mm-hmm. out loud. Why didn't you take it out then when you read the audiobook?
You know, I've traveled for years. I've been involved in policy for almost 30 years. And so I've gone all across the world. I've met with world leaders.
So you didn't realize when you recorded the audiobook?
When it was brought to my attention, and it was, I asked the publisher if they would remove the name, and they did.
Okay, but you didn't answer my mm-hmm. question. When you record, you posted pictures and video of yourself mm-hmm. recording mm-hmm. the audiobook. Mm-hmm. When you recorded your own audiobook, you didn't notice
I'm
this
not going to discuss about my meetings with world leaders.
I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you about recording the audiobook.
Did you want to talk about something else today?
Oh, well, that's about as straightforward an answer as it gets.
Well, I would just say her career is toast, or at least charbroiled. Of course, the publisher canceled any and all interviews with this book release and probably will dump this book as fast as the mobile shredder can get there.
May cause burning, itchy rash, constipation, and voting Republican.
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Oh, friends, the deliriously demented decisions continue down there, in that area down there.
Dateline, Tallahassee.
You know, gaslighting seems to be the state's natural resource these days. Just deny it and maybe it'll all go away.
Except when it doesn't.
Yes, as the poor, unfortunate folks who elected this Napoleon in search of his Waterloo have come to find out. Friends, it appears that climate change will be a lesser priority in Florida and largely disappear from state statutes under legislation recently signed by Governor Ron the Sandslug that also bans power-generating wind turbines offshore or even near the state's lengthy coastline.
Why? They don't like all the wind it kicks up?
Worse, these wind turbines actually improve things there. But, you know, damn the torpedoes and record flooding and invasions of giant flesh-eating seaweed. Full steam ahead! Critics said the measure made law ignores the reality of climate change threats in Florida, including projections of, as we said, rising seas, extreme heat and flooding, and increasingly severe storms.
Like they don't already have enough of that right now.
Well, the law takes effect July 1 and would also boost expansion of natural gas, reduce regulation on gas pipelines in the state, and increase protections against bans on gas appliances, such as stoves and other things, according to a news release from the governor's office.
Bans on appliances? Is that a thing?
I'm not sure it was ever a thing like these MAGAnoids think it was. To listen to them tell it, President Biden will soon be marching into your kitchen and removing all of your gas appliances and stealing and eating all of your ice cream as well. The governor called the bill a, quote, common sense approach to energy policy.
Yeah, it's common sense if you're a moron.
The governor says, we're restoring sanity in our approach to energy and rejecting the agenda of the radical green zealots.
In other words, we're putting all the cash in our pants and ignoring the warning signs.
Florida is already about 74% reliant on natural gas to power electric generation, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Now, opponents of the bill say it removes the word... Play along with me, friends. It removes the word climate in 9 different places, moves the state's energy goals away from efficiency and the reduction of greenhouse gases blamed for a warming planet. But Yoka Arditi Roca, executive director of the nonprofit Clio Institute, which advocates for climate change education and engagement, said, quote, this purposeful act of cognitive dissonance is proof that the governor and state legislature are not acting in the best interests of Floridians, but rather to protect profits for the fossil fuel industry.
You think?
Yeah, yeah. And to tie it up in a nice nuclear bow, the measure signed by the governor would also launch a study of small nuclear reactor technology.
So, how small is small?
You know, they don't say. But it only takes one to... The last bit here is a little sad, because we know there has been a major exodus of folks leaving the state, despite the Chamber of Commerce babblings to the contrary. And among those in this exit are, of course, educators, which is really disappointing.
Well, you can't blame them. They're the smart ones at the table.
True, true. An interesting fact just reported in a piece by opinion writer Stephanie Hayes. She says, quote, imagine being a Florida educator and seeing the latest news regarding your profession, nay, your calling. Per an April report from the National Education Association, Florida has dropped to 50th in the country when it comes to average teacher pay. We managed to sink even lower from 48th place last year. She points out that they're not the biggest loser, though. With Washington, D.C. in the mix, we're second to last, just ahead of West Virginia. She writes that this ranking is akin to finishing a 5K race while organizers are packing up the orange cones. It's the dreaded participation trophy of salaries, the E for effort of compensation, the bless their hearts of earnings. She also points out that Florida's place on the spectrum of teacher pay is, quote, humiliating and depressingly on brand for Florida, where state leaders have spent the last few years trying to win best laughing stock. Between the tango of book banning, the creepy fixation on sexuality and gender, and the Dickensian salaries, it's simply unsurprising that Florida teachers are leaving the job in large numbers, or that some college students who once hoped to teach are changing their minds. So, evidently, the national average for teacher pay is around $69,544, which admittedly does vary widely across the country. But here's the problem. Florida's average is around $54,000. The thing is, this falls below Florida's livable wage of $58,000 for one adult and one child. That's according to the Economic Policy Institute. Of course, the Florida Department of Education says they are dismissing all these findings, calling the report bogus.
It's a sham. A sham, I say.
And a hoax. So the FDE is attempting to cast doubt on the validity of the figures and blaming teachers' unions for the problems. The state says it has given more than $4 billion in raises for teachers since Governor Ron the Sandslug took office, resulting in a starting pay bump of around $8,000. The Florida Education Association is asking for more, though. It wants lawmakers to boost funding $2.5 billion a year for 7 years to make up for the slack.
Well, that just seems like a good deal to me. Maybe take some of those under-the-table payoffs from the fossil fuel companies and scatter it around. Unless, of course, you prefer to just keep everybody uneducated and easier to control. I'm just saying.
It's very worthy of pondering, Mr. Keynes. The sham casting of virtually everything these days is quite remarkable. And once again, makes the case for developing our critical thinking skills, friends. Just saying. A skill, by the way, that will elicit the time-encrusted question.
What the fuck, Florida?
And with that curiosity point fully initiated, we'll call it a show, friends. But not before thanking our contributors to this edition of Fusebox, Aaron Lane, Jody Lorimer, and Gregory Wilson for outstanding ideificationments. Thanks as well to the Grand Vizier of the Vectorscope, Milt Keynes, for technical assistance, and so forth and so on.
Pleasure as always. You too can join the expected crowd growing now on our Patreon page. Go ahead, sign up, become a member. Show your support for the crap we do here.
Indeed. In the process, you'll, of course, get free swag, advanced releases of shows, and access to forbidden texts, assorted scrolls, and things just too numerous to mention here because we're just too damn lazy to list them.
Patreon.com/TheFuseBox Show. That'll get you there.
Thanks for the support, friends. We do really appreciate that. And thanks as well to the good folks at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued faith in these proceedings. They have a currently very hot third issue that is a treat and a half, and you can get all the details at 42ndStreetPete.net. Oh, that reminds me too, by the way. Pete and I had a conversation just the other day regarding the recent passing of one of the absolutely greatest names in film history, regardless of genre, or in his case, budget. a guy who has started the careers of so many icons of the cinematic world, it would blow your mind. That chap is Roger Corman, who just left us at age 98. And we've got a segment in the next show devoted to Roger, and Pete and I wax on about this guy's achievements, so please be with us for that one.
Well, good on you. Seems like it's been kind of crickets about this guy since he passed.
Yeah, it's rather disappointing, given the many careers that would not have risen to icon status that they are today without the helping hand of Roger Corman back in the day. Yeah. So, thanks as always to you, friends, for pushing play on this one. We do so appreciate your time and attention. You know, just lots of stuff out there vying for your ears and eyeballs. And speaking of, do check out the YouTube version of this and, well, frankly, just about every episode of Fusebox, as we always endeavor to include some fun stuff in the video that we obviously can't do here.
Yeah, because it's video.
Concrete as always, Mr. Keynes. I have been your courtroom artist exploring the Cubist style, host Mark Rose, saying until our next cartoon.